Vitayu, welcome to this week's feature presentation from Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Pavlina, producer and host of Nash Holos, which airs weekly on AM and FM radio in Vancouver and Nanaimo, British Columbia, and of course, online. You can find program information, broadcast times, and links to the live streams and podcasts at our website, www.nashholos.com. But now, sit back, relax, and enjoy this feature interview, which was recently broadcast on the show. We've got with us on the line Alexander Klemenov. He was a stringer at NPR, National Public Radio in the States. He's worked for Global Radio News and Want More. He studied at the University of Missouri, where he received a master's in journalism. And he now lives in Kyiv, and he joins us live now from Maidan Nezalezhnosti. Alexander, welcome.
Hi.
Where are you right now?
Actually, I just came back from Maidan, so we could have this conversation on a good phone line. It is pretty difficult to speak on the phone from central Kyiv right now because there are so many people out there that the cell phone networks are just overloaded, and there is very bad connection. It's also difficult to get online from there, even though there are many Wi-Fi spots available. For instance, one of them is called Euromaidan. That's been set up just for people who are attending the events there, or in the city hall. It was captured by the protesters in the very beginning of these protests. Another Wi-Fi spot was set up that's called Revolution.
So what is happening right now at Maidan?
What's happening there right now is basically a concert, and this is what's happening there all the time. It's an ongoing event. There is a stage that's set up in the middle of Independence Square, and people are gathering in front of it. And then there are speakers who are taking their turns to talk to the crowd. There is a presenter who is there basically all the time. And then you have opposition leaders who come on every day. Usually they were actually talking just a couple of hours ago. There was a huge rally when people converged on Independence Square after work. So those who are there permanently were joined in by those who were coming back from work, and opposition leaders were trying to explain what was going on and what the situation was and what they were planning to do next. And then once that main rally was over, then the concert picked up, and there were Ukrainian bands who are performing there, Ukrainian singers, and then there are other speakers who are taking the stage also later. And this is basically going on throughout the night. This is what was happening last night when suddenly there were rumors that riot police was going to storm the camp that was set up there on Independence Square. There are tents everywhere. The Independence Square has been barricaded. There are real barricades that were erected there, and it's quite difficult to get through them in large if you have large number of people. But there are passageways made there so regular flow of pedestrians can still continue. And then riot police approached the barricades and started breaking through them. And that was a very tense moment. This was happening around 1 a.m. Last night, just several hours after President Yanukovych had a meeting with three former presidents of Ukraine, and they were discussing the situation, and he was basically saying that he would do his best so there'd be no more violence, so there'd be no more violent dispersals of the protests, and that he was ready to negotiate. And then this attack by riot police happened. There were people whose heads were smashed with batons. You could see opposition leaders on TV already wrapped up in bandages. And the Ukrainian singer Ruslana, who was leading the rally all the time, she started talking to the troops in a very calm voice. It sounded as if she was trying to hypnotize them. She was saying, "This is a peaceful protest. This is a peaceful protest. Don't follow any criminal orders. Don't follow any criminal orders." She was repeating this like a mantra, and it was absolutely surreal. And she was also appealing to Kyivites to wake up, to get out of their apartments and come to Independence Square, just so there'd be a large number of people facing off these riot police troops that were approaching. And, of course, nobody knew what the plan was, what they wanted to do, whether they wanted to destroy the whole camp or just clear the street. And people started coming to Maidan in the middle of the night. So this call for Kievites to wake up, it spread really fast, and there were thousands of people who were coming throughout the night. I got there by 6 in the morning. There were tens of thousands of people already, and riot police stepped back. So there was basically only one skirmish that occurred around 1 a.m., and then there was just a standoff, but there were no battles. And then what happened later, well, riot police that were explaining this by the court order that was given to clear the streets for traffic, and they said they had no plans to destroy the tents, but then some of the tents were set on fire. This was really very dramatic, and riot police were also saying they were not planning to storm the city hall, which is one of the strongholds of the protests there that have been holding on to the city hall from the very beginning of these protests. And then suddenly riot police buses arrived in front of the city hall, and they tried to storm, but people inside barricaded the doors, and riot police couldn't get in. And then when I got there, this was in the morning, the early hours, around 9 a.m. this morning, I could see people, the protesters, that were getting out on the windowsills with the fire hoses, and they were just pouring water on top of these riot police buses, on top of the policemen. This was going on for a good half hour. At some point, they started firing firecrackers, and one of the buses caught fire. There was a black smoke coming out of it. Plumes of smoke were rising higher than the seventh floor, the top floor of the city hall. And then at some point, the riot police buses just left, and there was a huge crowd of people that was sitting outside watching all this, and they were cheering for the protesters that were saying, "Way to go, well done, way to go, well done, down with the gang, down with the gang." And everybody was like really supporting people who were barricading inside, and there was absolutely not a single voice trying to support the riot police, what they were doing. And then they just left, and basically that was the end of the standoff. And it's not very clear what's going to happen tonight. So people who are left on Maidan, again, that's several thousand people, they are preparing for whatever might happen.
Now, I was just reading that somebody was saying that really the action happens at night. Yes?
Well, you know, anything can happen at night. Like I said, last night's attack happened just hours after President was trying to convince people that there'd be no more attacks and that'd be just negotiations. He was also meeting with the international representatives that were in Kiev. Deputy Secretary of State Nuland was in Kiev, and the European Union Foreign Policy Chief, Catherine Ashton, was in Kiev, and they witnessed all this, and nobody could believe that the president could have ordered such a thing when these high international representatives were in Kiev and could see all of it happening right in front of their own eyes, not even on television. So people, they just don't believe to what they hear the authorities saying. They are ready for anything that might happen, basically.
There was some recently a Facebook post. Somebody said that the metro in Kiev, your subway system has been shut down because of bomb threats. Have you heard that?
Well, this has been happening for a couple of days now. There are two subway stations that are right next to Independence Square. One is immediately underneath Independence Square. And in the beginning of these protests, even when the barricades were already erected, you could take the subway and exit right in the middle of the barricade. So you didn't even have to go through the coordinates, you would just come out of the metro right in the middle of the protest, basically. And there was a question why they were so negligent about it, because there could have been an attack on the protesters through the subway system. But subway shut down around midnight, and at night they were barricading these exits. But then the day before yesterday, apparently, authorities ordered the subway stations to be shut down, and trains were passing them without stopping. And it was announced that there was a bomb threat, but everybody was thinking that was a hoax because like, we don't ever have bomb threats in Kyiv that are serious. Usually they're hoaxes. Of course, nothing was found, but the work of the subway was disrupted, and of course people who were commuting to work had to somehow figure out how to get to work, and this repeated again yesterday, and I think even this morning there were some problems with these stations, but in the evening they were open. You could freely enter and exit and transfer between them, so the normal work of the subway resumed. But today, during the course of the day, there were bomb threats announced at both of Kyiv's airports and the train station, which, of course, also proved to be hoaxes. So people are just thinking, the protesters, they're saying that this is all set up by the authorities, and they just don't understand why they're doing this.
So you're saying that there are now fears of real bomb threats.
Well, there, people know that this never happens. I mean, these bomb threats were announced, but everybody was thinking this was just all set up by the authorities just to create some disruption in the work of the metro system so people couldn't commute to Independence Square, so it'd be more difficult for a larger number of people to get there fast. Also, these barriers by of riot police that were set up several days ago were set up there to prevent people from bringing food or firewood that's necessary at Independence Square. But, of course, that didn't prevent anything. There is still a flow of food and of anything. I mean, really, if you go to Independence Square, to the camp, you see that it's so well organized right now. There is so much coordination going on. There's, like, people are cleaning up after themselves. They are cooking food for everyone. Food is free. Hot tea is free, and you can just get all the basic necessities there for free. You can stay in the tents if you need to, or you can get a night's sleep at one of the buildings that are hosting the protesters just a couple of steps away from the tents, basically.
Now, it is very cold in Ukraine right now, and word has it that the government is quite concerned that there is going to be a whole flood of people coming into Kyiv from outlying areas. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, it is cold, but it's also getting warmer. I think last night it was at minus 13 degrees, and right now it's at minus 2, so it's warming up. There were rumors that there might be some outbreaks of diseases at Independence Square. There was even one dead body that was basically planted there. Actually, a person who died when the paramedics arrived, and then he was diagnosed with an open form of tuberculosis. And the protesters were saying that this person was brought there specifically by the authorities so they could announce that there is an outbreak of tuberculosis on Independence Square. But when it's very cold, then it's actually more difficult for diseases such as flu or common cold to spread. As far as new participants arriving for the protest, there are constantly people arriving from other regions of Ukraine, of course, mainly from Western Ukraine, that's a lot more pro-European than the Eastern and Southern regions that are mostly Russian-speaking. But even from those regions, there are people on Independence Square. There are large military tents set up with carrying city names like Odessa, which is in the south of Ukraine and a famously Russian-speaking city. There are people from the Crimea, which is Russian-speaking, and the Crimean Tatar-speaking area. There are Crimean Tatars who are participating in this protest. So it's really becoming more and more pan-Ukrainian and not representing only Kyiv or only Kyiv and the Western regions.
You're saying that there are provocations then. The authorities are trying to paint the protesters in a light that they're really not. They just really don't want to talk to you, do they?
Well, what is happening there and what Ukrainian authorities have been known to organize really well is to hire these guys who are, say, are practicing martial arts, and they would hire like a couple hundreds of them and maybe pay them $20-$30 a day just so they could stage a protest, march with some flags, or simply penetrate into the crowd and create some skirmishes. just create some local disruptions, provoke people in some sort of violent reaction. But people are aware of this, and they're trying to be vigilant. And, of course, it is not very easy to get inside this barricaded area. They're trying to look at who's entering. They're even searching people if they think that the person is suspicious in some way or carrying a suspicious piece of luggage with them. So people are aware that these provocations might be possible, so they're really on the lookout.
Well, it sounds like you guys really are—you're determined. You know, you're on top of it. You know all the tricks that these guys pull off, and you definitely want change. It seems this Euromaidan is much more determined than the Maidan in 2004.
Well, there is a big difference between these two, because back in 2004, people knew exactly what they were standing there for. There was a problem with the vote rigging, basically, and people were demanding that there be a recount or that there be a revote, because they knew that the election was rigged. So there was a protest, then it went to the court stage when the results of the election were contested in the court for several days. People were basically watching the court in session, trying to figure out what the court is going to decide, and then the court decided that it'd be a revote, and that's when the protest basically came to a logical end. Right now, it is not very clear what the end of this should be, because in the very beginning, this was a pro-European rally when the government abruptly announced that they're abolishing preparations to sign this association agreement with the European Union. And because they were saying for months that they were so determined to sign it, that they were preparing to sign it, and the parliament was passing all these laws that the European Union was requiring Ukraine to pass in order for this agreement to take place, people were so disappointed they just couldn't understand why the government would be lying to them for months if they knew from the very beginning that they weren't going to sign this agreement. So people started protesting, but then when that protest was basically dying out, there were only a couple hundred people left on Independence Square, and in the middle of the night they were dispersed violently by riot police. People were beaten up violently. Their heads were smashed, legs, arms, everything. There were so many injured people. That really sparked the protest anew, and then the protest basically gained a completely different scene. People were already demanding not just the signature of this agreement, they didn't even care about it anymore very much. They were demanding the ouster of President Yanukovych, of Prime Minister Azarov, of his government, and the Ministry of the Interior, who could have ordered this violent beating of the students. And then that protest was also sort of coming to an end, because it wasn't clear what it could lead to. The government, president, they can just ignore, even if there's a million people outside in Kiev, they can simply ignore this protest and continue doing whatever they're doing. You know, people would be protesting days on end, months on end, and nothing would change, because, you know, there is no action that's taking place. It's just a peaceful protest. People are standing in one square. So last night, when I was at Independence Square, there were fewer people than I would normally see there. And again, there was this feeling that this protest was coming to an end. And then in the middle of the night, the attack happened. And from the morning, it just sparked anew. And again, you have tens of thousands of people on Maidan tonight. So people are trying to find some idea to understand what would signify for them that this protest has achieved the goal. Now they're demanding the ouster of President Yanukovych, the ouster of the government, but it's not clear how that would happen. I mean, there's no way that the square can press President to resign. He simply would not do it. So it's not very clear for people to understand how they will achieve their goal, actually. So that's the main difference between these two protests.
Alexander Klemenov, thank you so much for joining us. I do hope that the protests end soon, peacefully, and with a happy resolution for everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. Keep well.
Thank you.
And we were speaking with Alexander Klemenov, and he is in Kiev and reporting from the Maidan. hope you enjoyed this week's feature interview from Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. In addition to interviews such as the one you just heard, Nash Holos is host to many other outstanding features produced by people who love to share their love of Ukrainian culture with non-Ukrainian speakers. From Ukrainian recipes and cooking tips to reviews of English language books on Ukrainian themes, views on Ukrainian politics and current affairs, culture, folklore, and of course great Ukrainian music, traditional and contemporary, by artists from Ukraine, Canada, and around the world. So join me, Pavlina, and my fascinating guests on the weekly radio broadcasts in Vancouver and Nanaimo. You can listen to the live broadcasts on air or online, or download the podcast and listen later in your own good time. You'll find program information, broadcast details, and podcast links at www.nashholos.com. So until next time, dopa bachinya.